Hello, it's good to come again with the Word of God this time, and I praise God for the opportunity that the Lord is giving me to share His Word. This time I would like us to look into the Word of God for a few minutes and understand the plan of God in our life. For the next few weeks, we are planning to continue looking through the book of Ephesians in depth and allow God to speak into our lives. As we all know, the book of Ephesians has been written by Apostle Paul while he was in the prison. And as the great servant of God was seated there, he had the vision of the church outside the prison walls, the different church locations that they were scattered all across Judea and Samaria and other places. And the Holy Spirit gave him some true inspiration about writing this beautiful letter that today we are able to look into and understand. So when we look through the book of Ephesians, there are many things for us to understand. One of the things that this book speaks to us is as God's children, we are all connected with one another. God has connected us into His family, and He is our Father, and we are brothers and sisters, as we are walking this pathway of life until we reach our final destination. When we look into the book of Ephesians, it enables us to find our true identity, who we are in Christ. And it gives to us a pattern of how to live as a believer, as a child of God, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. A close examination of the book of Ephesians will make us understand that this book can be divided into two parts. The first three chapters, 1 to 3, it gives us an understanding of who we are in Christ. And the last three chapters, from 4 to 6, will tell us how we should live, how we should act, how we should function each and every day of our life. So when we look through these chapters, Apostle Paul actually gives us a very clear, concise and careful outline of how we have to behave as a new creation in Christ. So the question comes, how are we as God's children to live in this world? If you look at the last three chapters, we can understand that everything can be summed up in two great statements that Apostle Paul has made. When we come to chapter 4 and verse number 1, we read what Apostle Paul is saying, that we need to walk worthy of the calling with which we are called. There are times in our lives, maybe many years ago, that God called you. Christ invited you to come in, and there was a calling in your life. And Apostle Paul is saying that we should walk worthy of that calling. We are now no longer the children of darkness. We are the children of light. We are the children of the King. God is our Heavenly Father, and we are an ambassador of Christ, and we represent Him as we live every day in our life. And so we should walk each and every day worthy of the calling by which we have been called. In other words, it means that we need to balance our living with our new identity in Christ. We need to be like Christ and walk like Him in each and every moment of our lives. Let's look into into Ephesians chapter 4, the first three verses, Apostle Paul, see the way he's constructing the statement here. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, I want us to examine this statement a little more in depth. He says, I am begging you. He is not ordering. He says, I'm beseeching you. I am begging you. How? As a prisoner of the Lord, I am right now in a prison for the sake of the gospel, and I am begging you to do this. What? Walk worthy of the calling by which you have been called. How have we been called? He says, how do we walk? We see here a few things. We walk with lowliness, with gentleness, with long suffering. We bear one another in love. We endeavor, or we make an attempt to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In one words, Apostle Paul says, we need to walk in unity with one another. But then we will need to walk in the same call that we have been called. You know, we are a new creation in Christ. And when we have become new, the Bible says, all things have passed away. All things have become new. In fact, Jesus speaks about the walk in this way in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus describes there are two ways how we walk in this world. One is called the broad way and the other is called the narrow way. Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. So there is one way or one gate that is broad, and that is a lot of people in that way. But the problem is that way is ending up in destruction. It says there are many who go by that. So the whole population, if you look at the world's population, the majority of the people are walking in that wide way that leads to destruction. But then Jesus says, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Very clearly, we should not be surprised that there is a minority of people who choose to take this narrow gate and walk on this difficult and narrow way. It is not popular. It's not easy. It is going against the tide. But then the good thing about this way is that it leads to eternal life. And so the first thing that Apostle Paul, speaking about a walk, says that we need to walk worthy of the calling. The second important statement that we read in the last part of Ephesians is that we need to be followers of God, be imitators of God. We need to follow after Him. We need to imitate Him in our day and our life. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, Apostle Paul says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Imitate Him. He is the one who is worthy as a model. No one on this earth can be a model for us, but God is our model and He is worthy to be imitated. You know, so there are two keys in our Christian living. One is that we need to walk worthy, and number two, we need to imitate God. And if we have to walk worthy of our calling, we have to walk the way that God wants us to walk. What is God's way of walking? When we look here, there are actually four different or five different ways how the Ephesians from chapter 4 to chapter 6 speaks about. Number one, as I already spoke, we walk in unity. And that is what in chapter 4, it says that in verse number 3, that we keep the unity of the Spirit. Be united with one another as we walk on this pathway. Number two, we also read that we should be walking in love. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2 says, walk in love as Christ has also loved us. You know, Jesus Christ loved us so much. And the Bible says that He gave Himself as an offering and a sacrifice for us as a sweet smelling aroma. Christ is our model. He loved us, and so when we walk in our day-to-day life, we need to love other people. We need to love them because Christ loved us. The third thing we read in Ephesians 5:8 is that we should be walking in the light. When we say walking in the light, it says we should walk as the children of light. Why do we say like that? Because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And when we are his children, Jesus says, now you are the light of the world. In the dark world, you should be shining as light, spreading the light of the gospel and showing the people where they are, and you are a blessing to other people. So we also need to be walking in light. The third thing we understand is not in Ephesians, but in the book of Galatians chapter 5 verse 16, Apostle Paul says we should be walking in the Spirit. And it says you walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The way that we can avoid being being tempted and sin before God is that we should intentionally walk in the Spirit, which means walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Walk according to the way how God wants us to walk. And so when we look at everything as a whole, we see that in our walk, Christ becomes our pattern. Jesus Christ is the model by which we are walking. And as we walk and imitate God, we are patterning our life after Jesus Christ. He is worthy of who he was, and he is our pattern for everyday living. So we have to be like Christ. But the sad truth is that every day we are inclined to waste our lives. Not only our individual lives, but also sometimes we waste our gathered lives, the body of Christ. We waste a lot each and every moment of our life. So many times we gather together, it's all about our preferences, our needs, our desires, and we miss what it's all about in our walk before the Lord. And the great servant of God, Adoniram Judson, who was one of the first missionaries to the country of Burma, this is what he once said: a life once spent is irrevocable. It will remain to be contemplated throughout eternity. The same may be said of each day. When it is once passed, it is gone forever. All the marks that we put upon it, it will exhibit forever. Each day will only be a witness of our conduct, but will affect our everlasting destiny. How then should we wish to see each day that is marked with usefulness? You know, let me tell you one thing. If there is something that we cannot do today, is to correct the past. What happened behind us? There is nothing we can do about it. It's gone. It's history. We can only look back, and that's all we can do. But let me tell you that the future is still in our power. We can do something about today. We can do something about tomorrow. So every day in the morning when we get up, we should resolve that, Lord, I want to spend today in the way that I would like to spend eternity with you, walking as you would walk. And when we go to sleep at night, we need to reflect that, Lord, this day has gone away from our lives and this is marked for eternity. Let me live a closer life to you the next day. And so that is how we live life together in our local church and in our local community and in our family. So let me just bring about a question to you. How many times have we come to a worship service, listen to a sermon, sing the songs, say hello to a few people, and then go back to our busy lives with no change, neither outward nor inward transformation? If that is the case, then we need to re-examine our lives and see, are we inching closer to God? Are we coming back to the path that God has laid for us? And that is what is called as repentance. Turn back to God. Look to what he wants in our life. And that is what God is interested in. You know, there is a great Puritan who once said like this: we will all one day hear our last sermon. You know, we need to use our local gatherings as brothers and sisters, not for our selfish ends, but get together to be filled with vigor and with the encouragement so that we can serve God in his kingdom. And so today, I want to mention one more walk that is being mentioned here. And for a few minutes, I want us to come to Ephesians chapter 5. And we are going to read a few verses from 15 to 21. And I want to make this a point to you. This is what I want to tell you. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Walk in wisdom. This is what God wants to speak to you. Let me read this passage here in Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to read from the New King James Version Bible. It says that, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, but in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God." And it says to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. You know, this verses that we just read tells us that we need to walk as wise people. We need to walk in wisdom, not with an earthly wisdom, but with a heavenly wisdom, from a heavenly perspective, from a heavenly looking at the worldview. That is the way we should walk. So when we look at these verses, Apostle Paul is encouraging us not to waste our lives. In fact, as we reflect on this, one of the things that strikes me is that how much time matters. Time is so important. So let me come to, and let's go into in depth on these verses. Look at verses 15 and 16. And I want to tell you this, is that from these verses, Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, the message that we learn is that every moment matter. Every moment matter. Look at what is written here. It says in the NKJV version, you walk circumspectly. It's a little difficult word. So I have taken the help of the NIV. It says, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." You know, we are speaking about wisdom here. And when we look at the word wisdom, there are many different usage of the word wisdom that we see in the book of Ephesians. Apostle Paul has used wisdom in chapter 1 verses 8 and 9 and also verses 17 to 19. And also in chapter 3 verses 10 and 11. You know, in all these places, which I don't want to take now and read, but you can read in your leisure, the word the wisdom is equating to live in the light of what God has done for us. That is what walking in wisdom means, that we live in the light of what God has already done for us. And the way that we live in this life is to reflect what Christ has done, which is to reflect the gospel. And you know, for somebody who is unwise, that person does not have any clue. But actually that person opposes the saving purpose of God that he has made through the gospel. So the question is, how can we make the best use of our time in these evil days? We're doing it by understanding and living out the truth that are presented in the gospel. You know, such a perspective will keep us from killing time and wasting time. We realize that when we waste time or kill time, it is an offense to the Creator God who has created time as well. You know, these who do that, you are ignorant of what God has planned for us, and we spend time fooling around temporary things and neglecting the eternal things that are so important for us. Now, just what we do is we assume that our life is all about us and we flit away, fulfilling our own personal comforts, our securities and dreams. You know, there is a difference between redeeming our time and wasting our time. And many times the mission of the church is not fulfilled because the people who come to the church have wrong priorities regarding the time. Let me tell you that we need to redeem our time. We need to be wise to know that our time is short in this world. We have only one life to live. And somebody has said like this, a poem says, only one life. It will soon be passed. Only what's been done for Christ will last. You know, our life is short. Very soon it's going to go. But whatever we do for God's kingdom, that is what will last, because Jesus said to keep our treasures where moth cannot rust and thieves cannot break in and steal. Whatever we do for eternity, that is the investment that we make through whatever God has given us. Remember this. So we need to be very careful how we use our time each and every day. I want us to ask these questions to ourselves. What are the ways I can redeem my time? How God has given me? Am I living in the light of what God has done for me through Jesus Christ? Or am I, you know, wasting away my time in insignificant things of no good to anybody? What are the time wasters in my life? We need to look in it and know that our time is limited. We have only 24 hours a day. We have a limited lifespan. And we need to do the will of God each and every moment of our life. So that's the first thing I want to tell you, is that every moment matters. Let's come to the next one. Verses 17. Ephesians 5:17. We learned this, that every action matter. Every action matter. You know, it says that we should not be foolish, but we need to understand what the will of God is. God's will is something we need to understand in our life. The Bible scholars say that there are three different ways to talk about the will of God. There is a will of decree, there is a will of desire, and there is a will of direction. Many believe that Apostle Paul, when he was talking about the will of God, he was talking about the will of direction. That is, God is telling us to discover what direction he wants us to walk in our lives. But when you take a closer look here, it is actually the will of desire that Paul is encouraging us to discover. We need to desire to do what pleases God. And that should be our aim in our life. Lord, that I want to do what pleases you each and every moment of my life. And so we need to know the gospel and live each and every moment of our lives and be intentional in living out the gospel. Live out the realities of the gospel. Live out, and that is what we see in these chapters from Ephesians 4 to 6, how to live out the gospel. We need to desire to do the will of God. Every moment when we take the next step, say, Lord, the step I'm taking, let it be according to your will and purpose. So let me tell you, is that when we apply this in your life, ask yourself these questions. Am I living out the truths that I know from the word of God? Am I passionate to discover the will of God as revealed in his word? Am I trying to discover the mystery of God's will and his plans for me? This is what we need to discover in our life, and we need to walk according to that. Let me come to the third part of it. When we read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21, what we learn is every expression matter. Every expression matter. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. Let me read in the NIV version. Do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we understand somebody who is drunk, imagine there is a drunk person. We can very quickly figure out that the person is drunk. You know why? Because number one, they don't try to cover it up. Their speech is not cohesive. Their walk is totally unsteady. They slur. They will speak things without thinking. We know very, very clearly how a drunk person behaves. But what Apostle Paul says, that we should not be drunk or intoxicated with wine, but rather we should be filled with the Spirit. He's drawing a comparison to the wine and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, put new wine in new wineskins. When we are a new creation in Christ, the Lord wants us to pour out His Holy Spirit in this new vessel that we have totally consecrated for the Lord. And that is what He says. And so what happens when the Lord Himself makes His dwelling through the person of the Holy Spirit? What happens? Let us go back to the day of Pentecost. You know, the day in Acts chapter 2 when the 120 disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know how they were perceived by the people outside? It says that they were mocking. They looked at them and mocked them and said, they are full of new wine. This is how the people in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 13, we see the people speaking about this 120. They are drunk with new wine. Look at the way they are behaving. But listen here. What happened next? Look at verse number 14 onwards. Apostle Peter stands up with 11 apostles and he raises his voice and then he says to them, and I want to read out what he has spoken to the people. He says, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and heed my voice, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. See what happened to this 120 people. The God poured out the Holy Spirit and they started behaving as drunkards, but they were drunk in the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you that this is what should happen in our lives as well. The Lord has promised us His Holy Spirit. He says that you wait on the promise and I will give you the Holy Spirit. You know, on the day of Pentecost, Jesus fulfilled His promise. He went to the Father and the Holy Spirit descended upon the 120 disciples. And from that moment onwards, if you look through the book of Acts, there are more than 8 to 10 places where the people were filled with the Holy Spirit. They started speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit has not stopped on the first century. It has continued through the ages. And even today, we see the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we see in the Azusa Street, in the Kansas Street Revival, in the Brownsville Revival. We see the Holy Spirit poured out on so many different places. And God is even today filling His people with the Holy Spirit. And so today I want to tell you that it is God's desire that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. You drink the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, we can understand the will of God. Because then it is the Holy Spirit who is going to be guiding you every moment of your life. Let me close here with four things that should happen when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want you to examine, as I'm saying these four things, I want you to look into your life and see if these four things are happening to you. Number one, we will speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It's a reference of how we build each other up when we come together in corporate worship. You know, it is such a enthusiastic time when we worship the Lord together. And when we sing together and glorify the Lord, it is if we build each other up. And that is what it says, we should be speaking to one another like that. Number two, it says that we should sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. It is upon a vertical aspect of our worship. It speaks about in our personal life, the heart we are singing and making melody in our heart. And we are worshiping Him. Even when we are not among group of people, when we are driving the car, there is a song that we sing from the bottom and we just sing because we want to sing, because we want to worship Him. That is the effect of being drunk with the new wine, the Holy Spirit. The third thing it says that we will give thanks always for all things to God. One of the signs of a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit is that we are always thankful. Not only on a Thanksgiving day, but every moment for everything, whether good or bad in our perception, we need to be thankful to God, brothers. One of the signs that we go away from God is we are seeing in Romans chapter 1 that we become unthankful. So let God give us a thankful heart that we are thankful for everything that God is doing because He has a greater purpose for us. Because we know that all things will work together for our good. When? Because we are called out for His purpose. And the fourth and the final thing is that we will cheerfully submit to those in authority over us out of reverence for Christ. Submitting to one another. You know, this calls for humility. That we will be humble. We will not prop ourselves beyond what we are, but we are willing to submit to other people, to people in authority, whether in our workplace, whether in our spiritual life, within our family, submit to the one that God has placed over us in authority. That is a sign of a spirit-filled person. So when we are filled with the Spirit, we start to sing, we start to be joyful, we start to give thanks to God. And this is what explains the beauty of God when we sing and we speak and we give thanks and we live our lives in humility each and every day. Let me close here. I want to close here with a small portion of a passage written by one of the great leaders of the Christian faith, John Piper. In one of his book where he says, "Don't waste your life," he has given us an illustration that I want to bring before you. And I'm going to quote what he is writing. These are his own words. "I will tell you what a tragedy is. I will show you how to waste your life. Consider a story from the February 1998 edition of the Reader's Digest, which tells about a couple who took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast, of US, 5 years ago, when he was 59 years old and she was 51 years old. Now they live in a place called Punta Gorda in Florida, where they cruise in their 30-foot trawler and they play softball and they collect shells." And that's what they do all day long. And at first, when I read this, I thought it might be a joke, a spoof of the American dream, but it wasn't. Tragically, this was the dream. Come to the end of your life, your one and only precious God-given life, and let the last great work of your life before you give your account to your Creator be this: playing softball and collecting shells. Picture them before Christ on that great judgment day. "Look, Lord, see my shells. What a tragedy." And today people are spending billions to persuade you to embrace that tragic dream that is really ending up in destruction. Once again, I put my protest. Don't buy it. Don't waste your life. I wonder whether or not our churches have their own seashells that we are collecting every time. This is simply put based on our own preferences. Perishable things that we have given our lives to, we call them holy. In reality, they are only
a monument of our fleshly desires. What would happen in our church if each of us commits to give everything to the one who truly matters? Amos chapter 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they have agreed? Can you agree with God's pattern of daily walk and living? Can you walk daily as with God every day as Enoch walked, as Noah walked? Both of them, they escaped destruction because they walked with God. Today, Jesus is the good shepherd of our soul. He's inviting us and said that he will lead us every day if we give our lives to the Lord. Can you surrender yourself and say, Lord Jesus, I have lived my life, it's past. There is nothing I can do about it. But starting from today, I want to live and walk the way that you want me to walk. My brother, my sister, can you make that decision in your life today? I want to pray for you as I'm closing this word that God has put in my heart. Can you just pray along with me? Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that you gave us to meditate in your word. Lord, you have spoken us so clearly that our lives are temporary. Every day we are hearing about deaths of different people who thought they were going to live long on this earth. Father, we know that our time is coming very soon, and one day you will call us. One day we will depart from this world, and when we appear to you before you, Lord, help us to tell us, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with the little that I have given you. Lord, I pray that help us to hear that word from your mouth. Help us to feel that welcome when we appear before you in your kingdom. I pray for everyone who is viewing. I pray for the brother, for the sister who has heard this message. I pray over them. I pray that you help them to make a radical change in their lives. I pray that you help them to follow after you. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. I give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. May God bless you abundantly. Thank you.